Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Morning and top of the morning. Yes, we're here live on Radio Africana
You are tuned to Morning Dew. It is another lovely day. This indeed is the day that the Lord has made. We rejoice in it and we're glad. Eternal Rock of Ages, we want to just acknowledge you. The Bible says, in all our ways, acknowledge you, and you will surely direct our path. So we anticipate your leading. We anticipate you gracing us with the abundance of the presence of your Spirit in our midst today as we tabernacle, as we share. We commit our session unto you. Father, we just thank you for the journey thus far. Thank you for your enabling grace. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for this lovely day, this summer day in the journey in the year 2025. We talked about coming to a significant milestone a couple weeks back. And Lord, we just want to thank you for bringing us thus far. Thank you for the strength that only you can give. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies. The Bible says of your mercies we're not consumed. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you, Lord, that you're a good God. Thank you, Lord, for your long suffering with us. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for the great work your Spirit is doing in and through us using the agency of your word. We appreciate all that you have done. We thank you for what you're doing now, and we thank you in advance in the name of Jesus. We commit our session this morning unto you. We ask, Lord, that you will just, you know, help us, guide us as we go through. Let the words that are shared, the words that are spoken, minister grace to everyone that hears even today's teaching. And at the end of it, let your name alone be exalted. We want to remember those who, for one reason, challenge or the other, might not be attending with us. Lord, wherever they are, whatever they are going through, we ask that you remember them, meet them at the point of their need, grant them the desires of their hearts. This we ask of you in the precious name of Jesus. Right, good morning, lovely people, and welcome once again to Morning Dew. So we're having another session, and we continue from where we left off last week. We had been looking into being led by the Spirit. So I think this is our third session, being led by the Spirit, you know, and we have our key scripture, you know, it was Romans chapter 8, verse 14, you know, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So it's not we're going to be sons of God. As long as we're led by the Spirit, we're sons of God. Talking about leading by the Spirit, we looked at some examples in the life of Jesus, who is our perfect example. And I just want to read something that will kind of take us off on our session this morning. And it's taken from the book of Matthew. Right, so I'm looking at Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John, okay, at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. Then verse 15 says, but Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so. Okay. For thus it's fulfilling, it's fitting, okay, and we need to fulfill all righteousness. So permit it to be so now, okay, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. So there's a bit of a very interesting contention there. Jesus had his own expectation of what should happen at the Jordan. On approaching John the Baptist, John had a different idea. And Jesus was saying, no, don't prevent what needs to happen here. We need to do it, you know, right now to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him after that little pause, as it were. Then he says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came out immediately. Okay, this is the King James Version. From the water. And behold, the heavens were opened, all right, to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending, okay, like a dove, and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then Matthew chapter 4 now, verse 1 says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, okay, afterwards he was hungry. And then we go into the issue of the temptation. All right, so now when the tempter came, he said to him, if you are the Son of God, okay, command that these stones be made bread. So he was appealing to his being hungry and trying to tempt him in that area. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, then throw down thyself, for it is written, right? He shall give his angels charge over you, right? And then in their hands, his charge over you, and in their hands, they shall bear you up, okay? Lest that you should dash your feet against the rock or the stones. And then verse 7 of Matthew chapter 4 says, then Jesus said unto him, it is written, again, he had not, okay, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an incredibly high mountain and showed him all the kingdom, right, of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered, you know, to him. So this is verse 11. We'll stop there. I want to just use that as a kind of basis to look at a couple of things, you know. So evidently, this is one of the places where we see that Jesus Christ is documented in the scripture being led by the Spirit. But there are a couple of things I want us to really look at. And so let's just look at some of my notes here, and want to highlight certain things. So we're looking at being led by the Spirit. We've just looked at an account in Matthew chapter 4, verses in chapters 3 and 4. And Jesus came to the point where he came to the Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist. A very interesting bit about that little apprehension that John had when Jesus came. You know, some other Bibles, some other versions or, you know, accounts give it more detail. There's some kind of apprehension on the side of John the Baptist. You know, he had been baptizing people. If you read the context before chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3, or you look into the account that is also in Luke chapter 4, you know, also about the same event, very detailed. Some details are left out in one version and another, but what I want us to be aware of here is Christ was very, very sensitive to the Spirit. He was very, very aware what time it was. He was very, very clued up as to why he was meeting John the Baptist, okay, and what he anticipated and was briefed, okay. So obviously he had been led, he had been, you know, spending time in the presence of his Father, which he documents severally. And so being, you know, led by the Spirit, although it's not put that way in the part of the scripture we've just read, he must have known the timing of God, the will of God, and that this was an appointed time. All right, if we take some extensive study, we'll see that it had been, you know, a prophetic word, you know, about what will happen to Jesus. It had been written in the scriptures about this event, this particular significant milestone in his journey. And so when he came to meet John at the Jordan to be baptized, he knew exactly what he was expecting. So the hesitation that John the Baptist had, and it's something that we don't clue into, he wanted to like reverse the scripts, and Jesus said, no, suffer it, you know, to be done according to the scriptures, suffer it to be done to fulfill all righteousness. So this agenda, this timing, this appointment with destiny is not something based on his feeling or John the Baptist's feeling, and he had to knock that out of the park completely to let him realize, this is why I'm here. Let us make sure we focus on the agenda of this time. So suffer it not. I don't know, you know, you feel that way, but that's not the instruction. I'm going to, according to instruction, we have to fulfill all righteousness. We have to do it according to the predestined and mandated will of God. So important. So even at that point, you can see the very impressive an impression and impact the leading of the Spirit has made on the life of Jesus. So much so, any attempt to deviate, he was very sensitive. I'll just flip out a little bit out of this example, but to show you Jesus' sensitivity. You know, he's being led by the Spirit. If you remember, when he asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" All of them came up with, you know, you are the prophet, you are this, you are that, you are that. He said, okay, praise God, thank God for your life. Now, who do you say that I am? In that moment, and I want to really emphasize this point, Jesus' sensitivity to the Spirit. In that moment, Peter confessed, you are the Son of God. And Jesus acknowledged, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. Are you with me? Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. That is divine insight. You could only have known that by revelation. All right? So Jesus was sensitive to the fact that at that particular moment, Peter was in line. Peter was in tune. Peter was in sync. Are you with me? When you read down the account later on, and Jesus was telling about some things that were going to happen, it wasn't long after the same Peter turned around and said, hey, you cannot do this, you can't. And Jesus like, what are you talking about? And he rebuked him sharply. He rebuked him sharply. Get thee behind me, Satan. I just had to bring that illustration because when you look at the ministry of Jesus, when you look at his personal walk, he was really in tune with this leading of the Spirit, was really in tune with taking the instruction that he had been given. He was really in tune in journeying into every revelation, every instruction that had been given to him concerning his ministry. And so this baptism we're looking at the River Jordan, documented here in Matthew chapter 3 and 4, is a significant point in the leading up to that point by the Spirit. Okay, so he cautions John the Baptist, no, let us just do what is right here. Let's stay in line. Let's not, you know, go to any emotional distraction. And in our lives, lovely people, we all will be, you know, exposed to challenging times, things that will test our ability to be in alignment, our ability to trust in the Word of God, our ability to fulfill all righteousness, regardless of how we feel, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what other people are doing or saying, to stay in line with that which has been revealed and instructed by the Spirit. It's so important. And so we see this classic example. Then he goes on, okay? He goes on, they have his baptism, and the Bible says, as soon as he came out, the heavens were open. Then the Spirit descended from heaven. Amen? Okay? So there's a heavenly confirmation of an earthly obedience to the Word of God, to the will of God. And then the Bible says, there came a voice from heaven. The Father spoke, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So straight away, there is a heavenly approval. There is a heavenly, you know, seal, okay? A heavenly authorization of what took place at the River Jordan significantly. And then the Bible says, after that, he was now led again, all right, by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And then I read to you the different areas in which he was tempted. It's important here because this is the path each one of us who have come to accept Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, okay, And growing, maturing, following instructions, being led by the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, have to go down the same path. As many as, you know, are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. All right, so we saw the Father's approval. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Okay, declared the Father. Okay, the Father's voice was present with a word of affirmation. The heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended also. Okay, and there may have been some witnesses to confirm this same. So this is a significant event. There evidently, you know, earthly witnesses, there is a heavenly approval, you know, okay, there's a Father's affirmation, all of this happening, and then the Spirit leads him to be tempted. Now the enemy still challenged his identity. The Father has just spoken, not some, and then the enemy is coming to say, you know, challenge his identity, challenge his integrity. Okay, you know, and you when you take time to study, I mean, I don't want to go too much into the type of temptation, but when you look at the areas in which he was tempted, his identity, okay, worship, okay, and he appealed to the flesh, he was hungry. All our temptations will always fall into a couple of these categories. The enemy is going to come and challenge your identity. Are you really born again? You say you are a Christian. Are you sure the Lord is going to answer your prayer? He will throw every challenge. So he attacked his integrity, his knowledge, his confidence, okay, even in his purpose, okay? Are you a child of God, okay? Have you been accepted into the beloved of God? The Bible tells this to each and every one of us. We can take our time to study this. But I'm just showing here that if Jesus Christ, who got heavenly approval, can be challenged, you know, and you just think, okay, you're going to say the Lord's the sinner's prayer, I've accepted Jesus Christ, I'm born again, and then here we go. You are in for a big surprise. You know, it doesn't go like that. Okay, so we just want to look at his example. So he was being led even before he came to the Jordan, apparently, and he was led from that into temptation, and he was challenged in every area. Okay, you know, of that you can imagine, like I said, three major areas: in the lust of the flesh through hunger, in worship, okay, and if you are your identity, you know, it will challenge your identity. So a lot of us go through these, and sometimes we're not aware. So if you know, how does the Bible put it? It says, if he's gone through this, let's be rest assured that we will go through because of him. Okay, because we have believed in him, you also are going to be challenged. All right, so let's really, you know, brace ourselves and come to terms with that reality. Okay, so the enemy still challenged, you know, these areas of his life and went on, you know, and the Bible says this whole period was like 40 days and 40 nights, and he came out having passed that test in the power, okay, of the Spirit. All right, so once again we have the question of your connectivity, of your identity, the question of his love for you. Okay, these things will be challenged in our walk with the Lord. It begins to shake the very things that are foundational to who you are as a Christian. I'll take that again. Once again we begin our journey in the walk with the Lord, we will find that there are going to be questions that challenge our connectivity, they challenge our identity, it questions our love, or if the Lord loves you, it begins to shake the very foundation of who you are and ask you, who do you think that you are? The enemy will just package his challenges in any form. The enemy does not give up. This is a barrage of, you know, projectors, what I call them, a barrage of things he will send your way. And is consistent, okay? And his whole idea is to sow doubt. It can get you to start believing his lies or start listening to his suggestions, all right? So the Holy Spirit is the one who within us confirms our adoption into the beloved of the family of God. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the one who confirms, all right, our adoption. The Holy Spirit causes you to be able to cry, Abba Father. Okay, he's the one that persuades us, he's the one that, you know, reminds us of our adoption and our sonship, and is consistently encouraging us, reminding us, you know, of the word of God, the promises of God. He convinces us that we have been declared the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, so it's important to understand that aspect of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All right, so when we're saying we're being led by the Spirit, it gives more, you know, credence to why, you know, he's leading us, why he's guiding us, why it's important to be sensitive to his leading. It will also help us to understand the essential ministry of the Holy Spirit, which includes leading the believers. We'll take a break now, and then we'll come back and look a bit deeper into some of the reasons that we, some of the understanding that we need to have as to why the leading of the Spirit is very important. So we have flagged that Christ's example is paramount. He is our example. Okay, we have flagged that in the ministry of the Holy Spirit to us, there are many things he has to do as his ministry, and so leading by the Spirit is one of them. So we'll take this break now, and we'll come back after the break. See you on the flip side.
You are great, yes, you are Holy One, walked upon the sea, raised the dead, reign in majesty, mighty God. Everything written about you is great. You are great, yes, you are one. Walked upon the sea, wasted it. You reign in majesty, mighty God. Everything written about you is great. You are great.
You are great.
You are great.
You are great.
You are great.
You are great.
Oh yeah.
You are great.
Say you are great.
You are great.
Say you are great.
You are great.
Everything, yeah.
Everything written about you is great.
You are great.
You are great.
You are great.
You are great.
Oh, you are great. You are.
You are great.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You are great.
Say you are great. You are.
You are great.
Worship you today.
Everything,
everything
written about you.
good morning. If you're joining us, we just had a break. You're welcome to Morning Dew. And of course, our session, this session today, is being led by the Spirit. We just looked at the account in Matthew chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 4, you know, of Jesus going to the Jordan to be baptized. And we know we've been studying from last session, I believe it is, the example of Jesus being led by the Spirit and how important that is. Now, moving on from that, I just mentioned before the break that there definitely is a ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we'll be looking at that in more detail in the course of our session here. We'll just make a few paraphrases or a couple of points on that we need to be aware of. But the important thing here is, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are sons of God. Now, if we are sons of God, you know, then it's important to know who is our Father. We want to look at His very nature. Okay, and you would agree that God knows everything. All right, we're going to have a couple of scriptures that explain that to us. So He's all knowing, and omniscience is one of the attributes of God. Okay, so God is all knowing, and omniscient God is one who possesses complete and perfect knowledge of everything, past, present, and future. So God possesses complete and perfect knowledge, all right, about everything, past, present, and future. And this includes not only factual knowledge, but also the knowledge of all possibilities. Okay, so you are dealing with a person who, even before things happen, is aware of the possibilities, the outcomes, you know, what the odds are, you know. And so where we are contemplating what could happen, none of the options you could take or the possibilities that will happen as a result of your action or inaction is going to take God by surprise. He's aware of all of it. In theological context, omniscience is often considered an essential attribute of God. So please note the word attribute, okay, alongside His omnipotence. Okay, so He's also all-powerful and omnipresent. He's present everywhere. Right, so these are attributes of God, and if we are, you know, children of the living God, you know, then we must be aware and have an understanding of who our Father is, some of His attributes, His character traits. All right, so He says, to as many as believe, He gave power to become. So if that's what we are becoming, is have some good idea what we can grow into, what we can mature into, what we are capable of exhibiting in terms of capacity, and what we can build on the strength of the scriptures. So omni means all, and science means knowing. So He's all knowing. Therefore, omniscience literally means all knowing. Okay, so God's knowledge, like I said, is perfect and complete. Okay, He knows. There is no limit to what God knows. Okay, He knows all the facts and all the possibilities, all the options and all the events, past, present, and future. Just take some time to think about that. Now, when you want to relate to oh, praise the Lord, when we want to relate to the Lord, and sometimes the way we deal, like we're dealing with our colleague or our friend, you know, you need to know the personality before who you are coming before, okay, in terms of His attributes. Okay, His omniscient is connected to His eternal, always existing omnipresence, existing everywhere. So His omniscience, His all-knowing, is connected to His fact that He's ever-present, all right, coexisting everywhere. So these attributes are an integral part of the personality that we deal with, all right. So it's important that we understand this very important attribute of the one with whom I keep saying we have to stand before. You come into His presence, we deal with Him, we'll be accountable towards Him. Okay, we must give account to Him. So when you are dealing with Him, it's not Joe Bloke next door, he's not your friend, he's not your colleague, you are not a peer with Him. All right, no, as sons of God, possessing the very nature of God, in whose image and likeness we are created, this really opens up what it is that God is building in us. Okay, now if that's the case, then it seems that, you know, like if we could answer the question that you have about life, if you were to ask any question about your life, if you were to ask anything about the complications, challenges, you know, you needed any help to win on any front, in any sphere of life, He can take you there. Nothing is impossible with God. Okay? He knows the options. He is aware of the possibilities. He knows things even before they manifest, you know. And another very important attribute that we want to look here is given to us in Psalm 139. And I'll just read a few verses there, but I want us to really go and have a look, you know, extensively. It says in verse 1, Psalm 139, O Lord, Thou hast searched me, and you know me. So this omniscient God has searched you and He knows you. Listen, there's stuff about you have never done, you thought you are not capable, is hidden from you. He's aware. There's stuff within you He may be trying to trigger, to give expression, to prompt, to activate, that is within you. He's aware. So stop about yourself that you are not, even you, they ask you, no, I cannot, straight away, because you don't even know what you are capable of doing. He is aware. And so sometimes when He's saying things to us, when He's commanding us to do certain things, you need to know the one that is addressing you. He's not your friend next door. So even what may be impossible for you, when you check your whole archives, your memory, all your experiences, and then you want to say, well, I disqualify myself. He said, no, you are the one I want to use. You are the one that I want for this assignment. There's something within you I need to find expression. I hope we're getting the message here. All right. So He knows our intricate parts. Now He says, Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. So when you are down and you are rising up, God knows all of them. You know the mood you are in when you are sitting down or when you feel downcast. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? He knows your uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Your thoughts, hello, before you even consider a thought. Now, James helps us to understand how the thoughts come. You can't stop thoughts. They're constantly like a barrage, okay, coming 24/7. But before a thought will manifest to you taking action, that thought must have been considered. You slowed down. You've pondered on it. Then it's conceived in you. And then you want to give it expression. So even for you to take an action that will result in a sinful, there's a process. And before the thoughts came, God knows. Hello? He knows my thoughts afar off. Far off. You know, Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Think about this. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it all together. This is who we are dealing with. So some of you that want to, you know, oh, praise God, forgive me, Lord. You do things and then you think you can deceive people, or you want to be political, or you are very eloquent, you speak in a lot of English, and then you come before, who do you think you are standing before here? Before you even had the thoughts, He knows you. He says He knows your thoughts from afar off. I think it's important to understand this so that when we talk about spiritual relationships, standing before the presence of God, the one before whom we will give account, He knows you. You know, you that want to sit down, you think you're very creative and you're going to come up with this. What do you think you are doing? Who do you think you are standing before? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. For many of us have done this several times without even knowing. Okay? For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. So if we ponder, the psalmist, he said he has considered all these things. And when he considers, like, this knowledge that God has is too wonderful for me. You know, it is high. I cannot attain unto it. Now, this is the psalmist's confession by having a time of reflection. And I want to recommend to all of us, when we are talking about being led by the Spirit, okay? The Spirit is a personality, is a member of the Godhead, and is the one leading you and guiding you. So even sometimes, it tells you to do some things, and we're still trying to reason it out. We're still trying to, you know, what's the rationale? It's not logical. Faith doesn't make sense. Hello? If you are going to be led by the Spirit, there's no, listen, all your faith, all your, you better just pack that when you are coming to be led by the Spirit. I pray, I'm crying to communicate something here, and I really want us to grasp this. The entity, the Spirit, God is the Spirit that we stand before when we are being given counsel, when we are being guided, when we are being led by the Spirit, you know, is incredible, far beyond our comprehension. He's omnipotent. Which dimension are you going to access or going to get any inspiration from that is not aware about? He says in verse 7, whither shall I go from thy Spirit? So if you want to travel, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? Okay, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, the Lord is omnipresent. May the Lord help us to understand these things. I'm saying this because when you are led by the Spirit, when you are supported by the Spirit, when you are empowered by the Spirit, when you are energized by the Spirit, when you are given grace, that ability to do what you were not able to do on your own, you are graced, you are enabled, empowered by the Spirit. Begin to understand that the things that normally may be difficult, impossible for men, because you are dealing with God and His Spirit, nothing will be impossible. He says, to him that believeth, what we are talking about here, nothing shall be impossible. Okay, now verse 10, very key. He says, even there shall thy hand lead me. So even these places that you go to, His hand is leading you, and thy right hand shall hold me. Hello, people. Even when you go to those streets, praise the Lord. I would love to stop here because I really want us to really grasp what we're talking about being led by the Spirit. And this is God's Spirit. And we're just having a little glimpse into some of the attributes of God. God is all-knowing. God is all ever-present, okay? Omnipresent, omniscient, okay? He's all-knowing, all-knowing, ever-present. Where would you go? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Now, it says in verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and that's the thinking of many people, even the night shall be like light about me. So even in the darkest places, and it's not just physical darkness, whether it's physical darkness is the atmosphere you're in, if it is a place of, you know, knowledge in terms of not having revelation, my people perish for lack of knowledge, wherever you pack up and build your tents, God is aware. You know, He says, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness and the light as both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. That means the Lord has taken charge of your heart. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, He knew you. Even in that very hidden area or phase of your life, God knew you. Before we were conceived as a seed in your mother's womb, He knew you. Before you saw this side of eternity, He knew you. He said, I have known you. I have ordained you. I have a plan for you. I have a blueprint for your life. Lovely people, I really hope that we are grasping this. So when we are talking about being led by the Spirit, let's know the Spirit of God that is leading us. Let us know what access, all right, what domain, okay, you know, the vastness of His knowledge, the vastness of, you know, his areas of dominion, okay, whether it's in the darkness, whether it's in the day, whether it's in the heavens or below the heavens, the first heavens, whatever realm you want to go, none of it is inaccessible for the presence, the power, and the knowledge of God, okay? So it's so important. He says in verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Sometimes our soul doesn't know these things. That's why we're reading the scriptures. That's why we need the leading of the Spirit to guide us in meditating in the truth. The Bible says He will guide us into all truth. Okay? So we are coming to terms with the truth. The more you spend time in the presence of God, the more you will spend time to get insight, revelation, not just of who you are, but the God that you're serving, not just of who He is, His attributes, but what you are becoming as a child of God. He says, as we behold Him, we become like Him. So every time you are in His presence, there is an unfolding, there is a creative work, there is a new consciousness and awareness that you yourself come into by virtue of being in the presence of God, by virtue of being led by the Spirit of God, by virtue of Him unfolding His will, His plan, the blueprint. Amen. And you know, and verse 15 says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, which is what we just talked about a few minutes ago. Before you were conceived, your substance was not hid from Him, even when you were made in secret, okay, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, even in the hidden, you know, formation of your being, who you are today. The Lord was involved. The Lord is aware. The Lord knows you more than you know yourself. He said, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. All your members, you know, let me put it this way. Think about the production of a car in a manufacturing plant. You know, all the parts that are labeled. All the parts of the car are labeled. So the manufacturer is aware of every component part that makes that car. Okay? Whether it's 500 pieces, whether it's 1,000 pieces, whether it's several thousand pieces, every component part, the manufacturer is aware. And there's a written documentation about the parts. So in the same way, all our members, okay, he says, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned. So in allowing ourselves to go through what He's doing with us, like the parts that are put into a production line, in continuous, in yielding to the process, in yielding to that which God is creating within you, okay? Even at first when you're creating, and as you become reborn, there is a walk there. He said, if any man is in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. So there is a process, okay? And we're being led into that process. We're being led into one step at a time, okay? But there is a process which began with the blueprint. And the Spirit is administering that process. The benefit is helping us what we need to know as we go on to reveal to us. Some other things you will not be aware of, but the process will still carry on regardless. So you are being subjected to the administration, okay, and the enforcement of this process that the Lord is doing in your life, okay? He says in verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them all. Alright? If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with thee. Okay. So it's so important when we talk of being led in the Spirit that we have this background knowledge and understanding of the one with whom we are dealing with, of the process that we are going through, okay? And so even some of the things, like I said, again, He may request of us or ask us to do, we may have no idea, but He's doing His work. And trust me, He knows how to do His work. Okay, I did mention at the beginning of the program that I would just mention for studying sake, you know, the essential ministry of the Holy Spirit, and that includes leading the believer. Again, for your own study, I just dropped these few points before we round up today. He is the comforter, so He comforts you. All right, sometimes you're going through the process, you have your down days when you're sitting down, you have your days where you're rising up, you're in good cheer. He guides you, He reassures you, so He's the comforter, you know. That ministry of comforting, we'll find some time to look at it in more detail, but just be aware, He comforts you. Sometimes you need to be encouraged, sometimes you need comforting. He is that comforter. when there's nobody to listen, nobody to go to, you can always go to the Spirit, and He has the ability within His ministry to comfort you. The Holy Spirit guides you. All right, so that's what we're looking at, the leading. He reassures us. When you look at the challenges we spoke about earlier, okay, that the enemy will bring our way, He reassures us that you are a child of God, and we need that, because some of the things that, you know, projectiles the enemies will send to create doubt, He leads you in the prescribed way to live righteously. Okay, so again, we saw with Jesus, He says, suffer it to be done to fulfill all righteousness. So the Spirit's leading ensures that we do that which is, you know, declared the path of righteousness. He instructs you in that righteous lifestyle. Okay, so how to be led, how to stay on it, how to be sustained by it, your meditation, your prayer, all of those things is there to lead you. He brings things to remembrance. Sometimes we forget, and out of the modules with the Spirit, in the school of the Spirit, He brings back things to your remembrance. He can't bring anything to your remembrance if you didn't attend the module. I always keep telling people, so you must attend the module, then we can say, okay, you remember that day, or but if there's nothing to work with, it, you don't have the basic infrastructure. Remember, the word is God's, you know, change agent, and I pray that He will use that to bring us to remembrance, to guide us into all truth, and to put us on the path. He prompts us from time to time. This is so important. From time to time, He prompts us. You know, sometimes you're going, you stray off, He prompts you, get back on track. Sometimes you're going, you forget something, reminds you, you know. So he there's this constant prompting, you know. He communicates with us in diverse ways. We will look at some of these more extensively, but I just wanted to bring out the attributes of the one in whose image and likeness we're created, and begin to understand why it's so important to have the leading of the Spirit. Amen. So, lovely people, it's been another very, very interesting session. I hope you have been blessed, you know, having a deeper understanding into the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you know, the attributes of God before whom we stand and we have to give account, and how that influences, you know, is leading us into the righteous lifestyle and following instructions, and us becoming what He has intended that will be, you know, as we behold Him, as we stand before Him, we become like Him by the leading of the Spirit. Till we meet again, same time on the same channel. It's been a lovely time being with you guys. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. God bless you, and try and do some of your homework. Look into the scriptures and do some reflection on your own. And I know the Lord will bless you. We pray that every word that's been spoken today will release grace to you, will empower you, will anoint you, and reveal more to you. Until we meet again, same time, God bless you, and bye for now.
But they don't know you like we do. is. Not the form of godliness, but be holy as he is holy. We were in church one Sunday, Pastor Anna, and the Lord gave me a song. And I don't get many songs like that in the middle of service. But then it just started to roll out. And I started singing, only you are holy. Only you are worthy. Only you are wonderful. For there's no one else like you, who is faithful ever true. Oh, my love, my heart, my life is a testimony. Only you I join and sing.
Only you are holy.
Only you are worthy, Jesus.
Only you are worthy.
Only you are wonderful, Lord God.
Only you are wonderful.
Your voice, only you are worthy, Lord.
Only you are.